Welcome to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast, where in every episode we explore what is research culture and what should it be. You'll hear thoughts and opinions from a range of contributors to help you change research culture into what you want it to be.
Welcome to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast. My name is Jed Hall, and I'm Head of Research and Development at the University of Leeds. Now, this episode is a bit of a departure from my usual content, which focuses on research impact. And mainly that's been driven by some recent work we've done with Worldwide Universities Network, where we did some webinars, and I kind of thought, I really need to internationalise this. And it suddenly made me realise that I know lots and lots about the UK higher education sector, but actually hugely little about lots of other countries. So to try and address some of my ignorance, I thought I'm going to reach out to some colleagues I know in different places. So the first person I thought of was Professor Adil Ahmed. Now, Adil and I worked together at Liverpool Hope University back in 2008. But since 2015, he's been working in the Middle East, particularly in the United Arab Emirates. But he has a broad understanding of the Middle East and North Africa, or sometimes referred to as the MENA region. So I thought, what a wonderful way to do two things. First of all, connect with somebody I know well and catch up on what he's been up to since we last worked together, and also get some insights from him. So as I said, he's been in the United Arab Emirates, I will be able to say that at some point, since 2015, where he's worked in three different universities in a range of senior roles. So Adil, it's lovely to reconnect with you, and thanks for agreeing to being on the podcast.
Okay, thank you very much, Jed. And to be honest, it really is lovely to reconnect again. I am genuinely pleased to be here with you. You are right. Our paths go back a long way. I spent around 20 years in UK. And these 20 years shaped a lot of how I think about research and what is the academia culture. And what has been fascinating for me over the past decade and experience higher education from a very different point here in the UAE and in the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and the wider MENA region. And I have been in a system that's still being actively designed, and particularly in how research culture is evolving. To be honest, I'm really looking forward for this conversation, Jed, not in terms of comparing one system as a better than another, but in exploring what different regions can learn from each other about building a healthy, more inclusive, and more impactful, very important. You go to see this word will be repeated again and again, because I have a passion of the impact of our research culture. So thank you for the invitation. It is a pleasure to be part of these discussions.
Adil, you're absolutely welcome, and it's lovely to hear the impact word, even though we're not really focusing exclusively on that part of research culture for once. But interesting, I was looking at our stats. We've been downloaded, actually. We've just tipped over into 113 countries, but only a small number of those downloads have actually come from the MENA region, with Saudi Arabia being the highest at about 130 downloads. So actually, the vast majority of our listeners are from outside the region. So I wonder if you can give people that more detailed structure about what's the higher education sector like, how is it structured, how is it funded, those sorts of things, both within the UAE and the wider region.
I think you are absolutely right, because the structure of the higher education in UAE and the MENA region, it is completely different than the UK. It's strategically designed rather than historically inherited. In the region here, it's strategically designed for particular purpose, which supporting the national agenda and building capacity for the graduate to work in the market here and as well global. To be honest, in UAE, we try to produce a graduate, it will be a global citizen, therefore serving the national development priorities, serving the society, serving the challenge facing this local environment, but we take care as well of the global. And this is why in UAE here and the region generally, we always take a global thinking, but local acting, which is very important, because one size does not fit for all. Therefore, if you take the global north, it is completely, I cannot take the system in the higher education in global north and put it in the global south and say, we'll have the same result or the same goal. Therefore, the system here, as I said, it is around national development priorities, such as employabilities, very important, innovations, and sustainability and economic diversification. We need to have a variety of the economic, because most of the country here, it was based on the oil economy. Now, you need to have industrialization, you need to have the health care, you need to have a higher education, you need to have retailers, they have a lot of manufacturing as well. Therefore, we need to make sure the higher education has already fulfilled the need for the society, for the economic development. There are three main types of university here in the UAE. A small number of federal public university. It means it is already got the fund from the public. To give you the context as well, for example, UAE has a 7 emirates. And every emirate, they have their own local government. Like, for example, like America, you have a USA, United States. It have like a how many states they have, and every state they have a local. Here we have as well a federal public university, which run by the whole federal, the 7 emirate. But we have as well inside each emirate, like Dubai, like Abu Dhabi, like Ras Al Khaimah, Al Fujairah, and so on. There is a 7 emirate. They have their own universities as well. But we cannot call it federal because this is not funded by the federal government, but funded by the local government. And this sometimes we call it a semi-government university. Therefore, we have a government university, which is a small number. It is a federal public university. And this carry a strong national mandate for a capacity building and the research in priorities area as a whole country. But some of the emirates, like Dubai, they have their own economy, like a tourist, for example. They need to build as well the universities which built the tourist place. Property, for example, another places like Al Fujairah, they have a manufacturing there, industry. Sharjah, they have like a culture and art activities. Therefore, you need as well the universities, it is provide their needs in their emirate as well. In the same time as well, Abu Dhabi, as well as a capital for the whole country as a not Arab emirate. This is, as I said, this is the federal and the semi-government. The second one, it is a private, very important here, it's a private national university. Therefore, it is built here, but it is private national university, which are typically teaching intensives in the beginning. But now, you have to do a research as well. This highly market responsive and increasingly expected to demonstrate a research and industry impact as well. Therefore, the federal public and the private, the second one, and the third one, it is a quite unique here, which is the UAE host one of the largest international branch campus. We call it IBC, which is an international branch campus. Like one of the universities I was working before, it is a UK university open a branch here. But if you go to see the goal of opening a branch here, different than the home campus in the UK. But the ecosystem in the world, with the UK, before you have a UK university here, we have Australian university, you have a European university, you have an Asian university, you have an Indian university, but operating all of this under local regulations, very important, and federal regulation, because the Minister of Higher Education, they becoming as a regulations for all the university, whether it is a federal, as a public, or semi-government, or even the private, and as well the international branch company. Therefore, they have to work under the umbrella of the local regulation.
You mentioned that's a big, quite unusual with the UAE having that number of international universities with campuses in the country. How does that differ with the rest of the region?
No, actually, it is big. Up now, for example, in Egypt, for example, as they already opened now, it's called something, it's called like Knowledge Village, something like that, Knowledge Park, I think, in Egypt, and they accommodate all the international branch campus. But some of them, they are not a fully branch campus. It is like a franchises. Some of them like a franchise. Okay. It's just only because any branch campus in Egypt, they have to have a local investors going with them. And here you can notice here investors. Therefore, you can see now the quality will be something about financial incentives more than quality of education, to be honest. As well in Saudi, they're starting now opening the international branch campus as well. But Saudi, most of the university is a federal public university. Mm. Because as well, if you don't notice as well, and don't forget, Saudi is around 35 million populations and all national. Mm. Therefore, this 30 are the bigger space as well. In Kuwait, because it's so small as well, Qatar exactly the same. I believe Qatar, they have only two federal universities and the rest it is private or the international branch campus. In Oman, they start picking up now for the private university, even they have only one university as a public federal university owned by the government. And if you go for the Bahrain, similar story as well. To be honest, even Morocco as well, as the MENA region as well, started now picking up the French university as well, open a branch here in Morocco, or North Africa.
So kind of some similarities, but different stages of the journey. Is that how we...
say different stages, but I think you're all heading to be a hub. As a global hub for the international branch campus, as an ecosystem.
Sure. So moving on to think about how research is assessed. Obviously, that's a really strong driver assessment over any culture. So what's the assessment framework like in the UAE?
I think it is I can call it, it is a holistic assessment, because here we are not just seeing a research. We have a research, we have a teaching, quality of teaching, we have a quality of the graduate as well, the employability rate, we have as well a community engagement, we have industrially connections, we have industry cooperation as well. All of this, it is a holistic rule. To be honest, so for here in UAE, for example, we have something that's called the outcome-based evaluation framework. Outcome-based evaluation framework. Sometimes we call it OBEF, which overseen by the Ministry of Higher Education. Ministry of Higher Education means at the federal Ministry of Higher Education for the whole universities here. So for every higher education institution in UAE would be assessed by the OBEF, outcome-based evaluation. And this outcome-based evaluation including everything, including the research activity, including the teaching, including the employability, including the quality, including the faculty-student ratio, including destination as well, how long the graduate will get a job or a career in the same job, how many they are starting up their own business. All of this like a KPI, not like REF, as said in UK, which it is like bureaucratic, or it is like, but in OBEF, to be honest, it is a continuous, it is system-wide. Every year we have a evaluation. And evaluation what? Evaluation everything. What is particularly interesting here from the research culture as your podcast, research culture perspective, is that the OBEF, which is an outcome-based evaluation, define research outcome very broadly. Yes, publication, it's one of them. Citation, it's one of them. But the important thing, it is the impact. And this is why I told you I go to repeat this word, the impact. The impact of the research in the society. And this call it the societal impact. This is important, and how this research will solve a real world problem. They are not doing a research for just the publication. Yes, publication, that's fine, but as long as this publication, it is connected to the real world problem, to the national agenda, to integrate with a collaboration with the industry. Because you cannot do a research for just the sake of research and citation. No. What is the impact of that? What's societal impact? What is the commercialization as well? How many of these publications you can make it, generate income from it? How many of this research it is funded by the university or funded by the industry as well? That is very important. Industry collaboration. And the one very important here in UAE, to be honest, and not only in UAE, in all MENA region, about student participation in the research. Yes. I thought today, I had today, this morning, international conference, and I was presenting my paper, and this paper, it was joined with a master's student. And the next month, I have a conference here in Dubai as well. I joined by two undergraduate students. Very important to bring the research to the undergraduate and the postgraduate, because research, it is one of the capacity building. Doesn't matter you will be in the academia or not, because research, scientific research, methodology, collecting data, analyzing the data, anywhere, once you go to work, you go to do all of this. Plus as well, funding. How much fund you got for your research. And the funding here, we have two types of funding. We have internal funding for every university. They put like a bits and every faculty going. Sometimes we call it faculty research grant. So for you, apply for a research grant and you got the money. Sometime you call it exploratory, sometime medium size, sometime comprehensive. But one is very important, in a research project you apply, you have to bring a student with you, you have to bring a postgraduate with you, you have to bring a research affiliate. You have to bring as well somebody from another higher education, whether international, prefer to be international higher education, and as well, how many of those people working with you from the industry? Very important to bring the industry aspect as well. And one of the very important aspect for the OPEF, which it is outcome based, it is IP, intellectual properties. How many intellectual properties?
So does that lead to quite a lot of dominance of applied research compared to blue sky research?
Exactly. Because we believe, not only in my university, for all the region here, what is the purpose of the research? To solve a problem. Therefore, if the research does not solve a real world problem, it does not need it. We don't need more research publication in a Q1 journal or a Q2 journal or a high ranking. But who go to read it? Who go to use it?
I can imagine a lot of our listeners having a very strong disagreement with that. Every country has to make a judgment call on where to put its funding for higher education, and that's obviously been a strong desire from countries in your region for it to be very, as you said, outcome based. Actually, improving the society, improving the outcomes of people living in those societies as well. So yes, I can understand that being a strong desire.
But I'd like to say something very important as well before we leave this area, which is, what's the purpose of the higher education? It's just only to a publication, to have a promotion from assistant professor to assistant professor. No, as long as the research has a purpose. What is the purpose of the higher education? What is the purpose of the education as a general as well? I know some people disagree with me about that, but always I am practical. I am from accounting and finance background. I'm not talking about just only money. I talk about impact. I talk about societal impact, about the purpose. And if the research you do, you are not train the student, mentor the early career researcher. What's the purpose? Sometimes you're doing the research just to mentor the early career researcher. Very important for that. I'm not saying research is just only for applied research. Yes, there is a basic research, but this basic research would be the foundation to have an ultimate goal, which it is applied research. Therefore, even the applied research cannot do it without basic research, but you have to have a goal. What is the ultimate goal of your research? It is like this.
Now, one of your roles when you first went to the UAE was Director of Professional Development. When you were doing that between 2016 and 2020, what kind of priorities did you have?
Yeah, actually, it is a very important. You take me now since around 10 years ago, exactly 2016, because I started 2015 as a dean of the College of Business and one of the universities here. And while I'm doing my role as a dean, I found there is a lack of capacity building for the faculty member. I found some faculty members are good in teaching, but they are not doing research. Some of them, they are good in research and always coming to me as a dean, I need to have a release from teaching because I'm doing research. And I always believe any faculty member, they have to do teaching, they have to do research, they have to do community engagement. Always I call it third. I'm not nominate some faculty member only to doing a research for the sake of research. No, you have to do research because you have to be part of the community which building the graduate later on. And even as well, if you are a teaching and you are focused in teaching, you go to teach theory. You are not connected to the industry. And the research, once you're doing a research connected with the industry, you will know exactly what you can bring this to the classroom. Very important. And this is why I was the founder of this professional development unit in Zero Vista. And it was the first of kind to have in like this in Zero Vista. We don't have this before. I was the founder. But when I moved there, I found actually my primary focus should be in a capacity building rather than compliance. One of my key priorities was establishing a professional development as a central institutional function, because I was a director of professional development for 4 colleges, not only business. We have a school of engineering, a school of nurse, a school of education, a school of social science, a school of pharmacy as well. Therefore, you have to bring all of this interdisciplinary as well. You cannot ask the people doing the research as a silo. No, we need to break this silo. And this is why I said I need to go to establish a central institutional function, rather than something as an ad hoc. We built, when I say we, I'm not sure I am myself. No, we as a team come with a common goal and common ground. There is something here, we need to fix it. We need to make sure the faculty member, they are structured around learning and teaching, around research skills and community engagement. Recognizing that many colleagues were coming from very diverse academic system. So for why in the engineering faculty, they have a good practice on teaching something, why don't you borrow this teaching methodology to in the science or teaching methodology in the accounting finance? Myself, accounting finance, I can give some good practice as a community. And this is why I built up what's called the community of practice, COP. Sharing the good practice, whether you are from engineering or pharmacy or business or social science or education. Because at the end of the day, we all working together. We need to make sure we have this. From the research culture, if we talk about teaching, but in the same time as well, from the research culture perspective as well, the emphasis was on confidence. Very important to build the confidence of the people like they don't done any research before. Mm-hmm. They've been 20 years teaching, but they are not doing a research because nobody asked them to do a research. Back to 2016, they don't have the outcome based, but the outcome based is just to come like maybe last year or 2 years ago. But it was a fragmented people, they doing research in their own time. Therefore, building a confidence and the building capability, very important. Capability and the community of practice. Helping colleague to understand first local expectation while value their international experience. Yes, I came from UK, therefore they value my international experience, which I can bring it with me. Somebody coming from Canada, they bring their own experience from Canada. Somebody coming from Egypt, therefore somebody coming from Algeria, somebody from Morocco. We were at the time around 20 nationalities in the same universities. Mm-hmm. And everyone coming from different things. And plus as well, part of the professional development I was building that to include mentoring early career researcher. somebody got a PhD and just only join us. Why not? We need those people as an early career researcher as well. And as well, supporting the grant writing. The proposal to get a grant for research grant, you have to give them the tools in order to win this grant writing as well. And creating, as I said before, community of practice. Aim wasn't not to replicate the UK system, no, at all, but to translate the good practice to the local context. And this is why I always believe global thinking and the local acting.
So you mentioned a number of different, you know, at that time you had 20 different nationalities. So if I was to, if I was a much younger man than I am now, and I was thinking, you know, I can see the investment that the UAE is putting into higher education. I'm also motivated by that kind of impact angle. What would I, you know, if I was to move from the UK to the UAE and take up a role at one of the three different types of universities in the country, what would I notice? What would I notice are the similarities, and what would I notice are the differences in the two environments?
Yeah, actually, this is a very important question here, because some people, you're moving from UK or from Australia, they're coming with their own research culture. Like in UK, most of the research, it's just only for the ranking. Most of the research, I'm not saying all the research, but most of the research, to be honest, are competing with each other, recruiting the good professors in order, and the good citation and the high index, all of this. But here it is good, yes, but in the same time as well, you have to utilize your experience abroad to make it localized here for the need as well. I think expectation around academia integrity will be the same. Peer review, it is the same. Publication quality, it is the same. International collaboration are very familiar here, especially in the international branch compass as well, and the globally connected institution. In terms of the different institutions and UAE, teaching load tend to be heavier, and the research time is more explicitly tried to institutional prioritization. But after this outcome based, they try now to make a balance between teaching load and the research as well, as long as you have the outcome base and you achieved your KPI. And the KPI is not the individual. This is the KPI individual. This is the KPI for the program, for you working as a team. KPI as a college, for example, College of Business. There is a KPI for a College of Business. It means they encourage the people here to work together. It's not only isolated doing a research. This is also much closer, approximately, to industry. Very important here, the research. And as well, one of the key element, it's how your research provide the recommendation for the policy and the government decision maker as well. Very important, which can be refreshing for researcher interest in, as you already mentioned, in applied research or impact-driven work. And this is why, again, I call it impact-driven research. In terms of the mobility, to be honest, university increasing support this international cooperation. Yes, they have a lot of visiting appointment here. They have a lot of joint project. I'm doing a lot of work with UK and Australia. And I have around 100 plus research publication, maybe 60% published with a joint researcher as a co-author in different country. You can see one of my paper, they have somebody from Malaysia, somebody from Indonesia, somebody from Morocco, somebody from Nigeria, somebody from Egypt. Therefore, we have to work together. And this is very important here because all the university supporting the international collaboration and joint project as well, and the professional development pathway, like we have in the part of our annual leave, we have, there is some annual leave for the professional development itself. Therefore, you need to use this annual leave as a professional development for doing a lot. Everyone, they have a couple of days, sometime like 5 days, sometime you have 8 days, sometime 10 days, only for a professional development. And this not exist there in UK, to be honest, because it is like now, when I was there, it is doing a professional development very important. Because here, as I mentioned, in the UAE, you have a 200 nationality. Therefore, you have to work with a cross-culture, not only across culture, across the discipline. And this is what's called the interdisciplinary and the applied context. Therefore, here, to be honest, it's a lot of work in the interdisciplinary and cross-disciplinary as well. I hope you got the research culture here. If the people would like to move here, they have to accept different culture. They have to work with other people. They have to work with industrial collaboration. They have to work with colleague, not in isolation. We here, we break the silo. We break the silo in order to work as a team. And that's why I said we, not I, we as a team.
And kind of looking ahead, what does the future hold? You know, what are the priorities for the higher education sector in the UAE and the MENA region generally?
Generally, I'm not going to use just only the buzzword sustainability, but really, first, to have a sustainable research culture means you have the environment which is supporting the research, and this is why you need to have a sustainable research culture. You need to have the administrations, like the president and the dean and all the people in the higher administrations, you need to support the research as well. You need to have the culture of research. It is a cult, country culture, holistic culture, and this is why the Ministry of Higher Education put priorities as an outcome-based. One of them, it is a research. It's not just increasing the output, and this is very important. And this, if you notice here, this is called outcome-based, not output-based. Because output is not talking about number, how many paper you published. But it's not the outcome. But what's the impact of this paper you published? If you publish only one paper, but they have an outcome, helping the industry, the mentoring undergraduate student to do a good research. Therefore, it is very important to have a sustainable research culture, not just increasing the output, but the outcome. But ensuring as well, researchers have the support, as I mentioned, and the time, and the very important, the well-being needed to thrive, not only survive, but to thrive as well. Second, so for first, sustainable research culture. Second is a deeper integration with the industry and society, particularly around sustainability, climate action, digital transformation, ethical investment, ethical finance. For example, we are here in UAE. There's a 38 university come together, just only one goal. It's called the climate action. And 38 university making a network together for the climate action. It's called the University Climate Network, UCN. Very important. This is bring as well how we can work together. Therefore, it is not only abstract research theme in the region, but they are urgent policy priorities as well. So for first, sustainable research. Second, deep integration with industry and society. Third, talent development and retention. building a long-term research career, strengthening, for example, doctoral education, embedding a student into the research ecosystem early. Across the MENA region, more broadly, the challenge would be balancing between global competitiveness with a local relevance. And this is why I said before, thinking globally, but acting locally. And this is why, if you notice as well, the, for example, the international ranking institution like QS and Time Higher Education, THE, they're doing now a ranking for the Arab University, for the MENA University, for the Asia University, for the Global South, because they recognized you cannot judge the academia in terms of research in the Global South with the same criteria and the same KPI in the Global North, because this is like, as I said before, it is inherited. Like, you cannot compare, for example, University of Cairo, University of Alexandria with Oxford. And this is why you cannot put it in the global ranking. And this is why the QS is doing now a global ranking, and as well they have a regional ranking as well. Why? Because you need to recognize there is a local relevance, but in the same time, they have a global competitiveness as well with that. I hope this will give you the indication about the pillars of successful research, which start with sustainable research culture, deep integration with industrial society, talent development with the student, and challenging, which it is balancing between the global and the local need as well.
Brilliant, Adil. Now, I know it's getting into your evening time, so many thanks for your time today. And it's been really lovely to catch up with you again in this discussion and in the meetings we've had to prepare for it. It certainly helped me to understand the research culture in the region, and I hope it's really helped our listeners. Now, would you like to say goodbye to them and offer them any final thoughts?
Yes. First, I would like to thank you first, Jed, for this opportunity to sharing some good practice as we all living under one sky, whether you are in UK or in UE or Saudi or Canada or America. We all living together, and we need all to work together to solve the problem facing all of us. And I would like to thank the listener as well. And I hope these conversations has helped demystify the higher education and the research culture in the UAE and in the wider MENA region. And to be honest, my final thought would be that research culture is not something you import. You cannot import it, but it's something you have to design intentionally. You cannot say you got the research culture in UK, I can import it and I bring it here in UE or inherit it. No, it is something you and me and all the people working in the higher education intentionally design to the needs, then design to the priorities for which country you are serving. And the plus as well, as a global citizen, you have to think globally. And this is very important. That's a lot that different region can learn from one another. No one say, I have a priorities or I have a superiority than other. No, we all together. And these conversations are becoming more important than ever. So I'd like to thank you for creating the space for this dialogue. And it has been a real, real pleasure to reconnect again and try to be part of the team as a global team to support each other. Thank you very much, Jed.
Thanks for listening to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast. Please subscribe so you never miss out on our brand new episodes. And if you're enjoying the discussions, give us some love by dropping a 5-star rating and written review, as it helps other research culturists find us. And please share with a friend and show them how to subscribe. Thanks for listening, and here's to you and your research culture.